member, but the house is falling down or needs some repairs, and then that's when we have work teams that come and we build homes for these families so the children can go back home. So those are two of our main programs. We also have a school that we support close by, where we provide sponsorships to support the school. And then we also have Blossom Gardens Children's Home, which is it's a government-run facility, but they're very understaffed. They have 60 children there, and so they usually have about 15 babies and 15 toddlers and then about 30 school children. Well, the funding from the government does not allow them to be fully staffed, and so typically their staff would be one caregiver for 15 babies, one caregiver for 15 toddlers. So those of you who have families know that doesn't work very well. So what we do is we provide some of our staff to go in and help out during the day. So we've been involved in Blossom Gardens from the very beginning, and so we continue to do that as well. So a couple of things, you'll see more in the video of some of the programs and things. But I wanted to share a little bit about prayer and some ways that prayer has impacted us. But I want to start with the fact that sometimes we pray and we don't get the answer that we want. And I think we just experienced some of that this morning. So that happens to us in Jamaica as well. So we've had a little girl there that when she came to us, they said, oh, she's about ready to be adopted. So we've been praying for that. We've been praying for her to have a family, a permanent family, and nothing has been happening. So recently she was matched with a family. Family came to visit. They had things were looking positive. They took her to their house for the weekend. She came back, and then they were supposed to come pick her up for a permanent placement. Well, in the meantime, things fell apart, and they have decided now not to adopt. So sometimes the things that we pray for don't work out the way that we think that they should. We know that God wants children and families. We feel like we're praying for God's will to be done. This is something that God wants. He wants us to be in families. And yet, that prayer has not been answered. But we keep praying. So even when the answer isn't like we want, we keep praying. So I would encourage you, you know, as you face these situations, God's call to prayer is not, I think it's to build our faith and to express our faith as we do that. And so I'd encourage you to keep doing that. We've had another situation where a child had, it looked like he bumped his head, had a large knot on his head that just suddenly appeared. Nobody knew what happened. It didn't seem to hurt him or anything, but it looked like he really cracked his head. And so we were really concerned and went in, did some tests, and they said, yeah, he hit his head, and there's actually a hole in his skull from a skull fracture. So they did more tests and discovered it was not from bumping his head. He actually had a tumor that had eaten through the skull. So we were able to have surgery, and thankfully the tumor had not spread beyond that spot, and they were able to remove that. And so he's healthy today, and we're thankful for that. We also, about a year ago, we had a situation where we had the need of a cook, and typically we had used one of the staff girls to help out with cooking meals for the children and the staff, and none of them were very interested in that, so we weren't sure what to do. We had some different ideas, and nothing seemed to work. We brought in some temporary help to do that. That was fine, but then they had to go home again. So we had a neighbor lady that we contacted, and she came in as a cook. And this has been a huge blessing for her and us as well. So, you know, God answered our prayer in not only blessing her with a job, but also blessing us with having her there helping us out. And she does a lot more than cooking. She has got a great personality, and so she impacts not just us, but everybody that comes onto the premises loves Miss Shelley. So we thank God for answering that prayer as well. All right, I am going to think we'll I'll say a few more things about the ministry there, and then we'll show the video, and then we'll go ahead and wrap things up. So again, I want to thank you guys for your support over the years, for your church in sending staff. We are staffed by volunteers, and so if any of you have interest in serving, feel free to. Our website is probably the best resource, jamaicarm.org, and you could serve as a staff person. We also have lots of teams. If your youth group is looking for a place to go, we have a lot of opportunities there to come build a house for a family. We're also in the process of building a new building where it's going to be a two-story housing for teams that come. Right now, we do have space for teams, but it's some of it's kind of like camping. So it's not ideal, but it's a fun experience. So if you're looking for a place to go in the future, I would encourage you guys to check out Jamaica Relief Ministries as an option. So so there's opportunities to serve. We're also starting to try to be more involved with Blossom Gardens. So we're doing some short term staff for that. So if you have 3 months to give, that's an option that we can have as well. So that program isn't fully up and running, but if you do have interest, give us contact us, and we'll let you know when that program is up and running. Katie, I just saw you. So we have Katie Weavers with us as well. She was a former staff as well, so thank you for being here. All right, well, we're going to move on into the video, and that'll give an overview of the all the programs that we have, and I'll let them operate that from the back. Thank you for your attention, and thank you for your support. Yeah. Things don't work half the time, but we'll just roll with it. Am I back on? Okay. Well, we get this figured out. I'll share a little bit about what I was going to originally. I wanted to talk a little bit about what God wants us, what God is asking of us in ministry. You know, Jamaica Relief Ministries is not about me. It's not about our family. Just like this church is not about Pastor Doug. We're all in God's work. And so I wanted to look a little bit about, you know, what is God calling us to? And what is God asking of us? So I'm going to read a little bit from Mark. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Mark chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 35. And this is a familiar story, of Jesus and his disciples. And it's one of the feeding, one of the times when he fed multitudes of people. I'm just going to leave this unplugged for right now. Okay. So Mark chapter... All right, sorry about that. Am I connected? Okay, so we'll start in verse 35. This was a story. Jesus and the disciples went into the boat. They wanted to go to a desolate place. They wanted to get away from people. But unfortunately, everybody saw where they were going. And so they couldn't get away. And by the time they got where they were going, there was crowds of people waiting for them. And the Bible says that he had compassion on them. And so when he got out of the boat, he taught them. So beginning in chapter 6, verse 35, by this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus said, he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to them, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. Okay. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. All right, so the disciples brought this problem to Jesus, and saying that the people need to leave to go buy food. But if you notice, Jesus turns this thing around, and he says to them, you give them something to eat. And the one thing I want to notice in this passage is the question that he asks, how many loaves do you have? And in the end of the story, there is enough food for everyone. In fact, there's leftovers. So, and then I want to turn over just a few verses, or a few chapters, over to chapter 8, and we're going to read a few verses from chapter 8. Both Matthew and Mark record this story and another story that's very similar, the feeding of the 5,000. And so they both record these as two separate events. So both times, and they're very similar, both times Jesus is teaching large crowds in a remote place, and both times the crowds are hungry. Both times they have bread and fish. So I wonder if this is kind of deja vu for the disciples. So we're going to read Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone find enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. So in this passage, the crowd had been with Jesus for about 3 days. And this time, Jesus brings it up to the disciples. And he says, you know, these people, everything they brought with them is gone. You know, they're hungry. And what are we going to do about it? But the disciples, again, see the impossible situation. But if you notice again, he asks them, how many loaves do you have? And again, there is enough food for everyone with those 7 loaves. I want to read one more passage, and this is from the Old Testament, and it's from 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read the first 7 verses of this. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. So again, when presented with the widow's problem, you'll notice Elisha's question is very similar to Jesus' question. What do you have in your house? And just like Jesus asked how many loaves the disciples had. So we're going to look a little bit about what we can take away from these 3 events. So one thing is I know for myself, I often see a lack. I need this, I need that, I'm short on this. You know, Jesus help me with this because I need more. But our perceived lack is not a problem for God. God's focus is what we already have. What he's already given us. Just like Jesus asked, what do you have? How many loaves do you have? There are times when Jesus also asked people, what do you want me to do? But I think in both cases, it's a question to clarify our faith. When Jesus asks us, what do you already have? He's asking, you know, do you believe that I can do something with what you already have? And when he asks, what do you want me to do for you? He's asking, how big is your faith? How big do you think I can do something for you? How big are you dreaming? How big is your faith? So when we think about what we already have, I don't know if you think of time. I often think I don't have enough time. But, you know, God has given all of us the same hours of the day. And so that's something that he's given to us. And maybe he's just asking for a few minutes to encourage someone. You know, the few minutes that we prayed this morning. You know, those are things that he might be asking for us. Maybe we need to make an apology. That's something that takes time. Maybe we need to share the gospel or to testify about what he's doing in our lives or take the time to pray with someone. Resources, not just money. You know, maybe the money seems to be short and we need more money, but maybe God's asking, you know, what can you do with what you already have? How can you serve me with what you already have? Maybe business is slowing down. Doesn't seem to be happening these days. Everybody's busier and busier, right? But maybe God is asking you to use something that you already have in your resources, your job, your car, your house. Maybe you can open your house to foster a child. Maybe there's a way that you can use your car to help transport somebody who needs it. God is a much better resource manager than I am. So think about that. Maybe he's asking you to use a resource that you already have that you've never really thought about. How can I use this to serve the kingdom? But maybe he's asking you for that. What about relationships? There might be a relationship that he's asking you to use to build the kingdom. Maybe it's a relationship in your job or in your family. And you know, it's not, again, it's not about us. It's not about what can I do. It's about how can God use what I have? How can I use what I have to serve and to build the kingdom? So when we give things to God, he makes them grow. Think about your abilities. And think about not just the things that you're good at. Maybe it's something that you're not very good at. But you can even give that to God. And maybe he'll open the door for more education or, you know, working with somebody who can help you with that. But when we give things to God, he makes them grow. And so even when it seems like not much, the 5 loaves, that wouldn't seem like much for just, you know, 150 people or whatever we have here. That was 4,000 people. It doesn't even seem like it's worth it. And yet God used those 5 loaves and those 2 fish to feed all those people. So God is the one who makes it grow. It's not up to us. It's us giving it to him. You know, Jesus used, when we give it to God, he uses ordinary things. When we think about the story, some of the healing stories, he used spit and dirt to heal a blind man's eyes. He loves to use ordinary things. The bread and the fish, that wasn't pizza and caviar. It was just bread and fish. It was pretty ordinary. Yeah, but God used it and he multiplied it. So if we think about the story in the Old Testament, you know, God used ordinary things as well. He used Moses' rod at times. And the story of the widow, it was just some oil that he used. And yet it saved the family. But when we give what we have, it's God who gives the increase. It was when the widow followed the word that God gave through Elisha that God gave the increase. And it was when the disciples used what they had. You know, it didn't increase until they were using what they had. And the same with the widow's oil. It says, as long as she was pouring, as long as there was jars, there was oil. But when she stopped, when there was no more jars, the oil was done. So as we use what we have, God is going to give the increase. And then he does more than we can even imagine. You know, we see what we have. We don't see what it could be the way that God does. And God is not overwhelmed by our problems. So when we see problems, I think that God sees an opportunity to be glorified. If we would have plenty of bread and fish, or if the disciples would have had plenty of bread and fish, where would have been the glory for God? And so I think he sees that as an opportunity to be glorified. And God does not see the obstacles that we see. Now I do think there's value, and he does ask us to plan ahead, but we also need to leave room for God to work, because it is all about him. It is his work, and it's not because of our good plans. It's because of his work. So in closing, I want to read a couple verses from Exodus. This is when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses started making excuses. He said, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" And then we know the rest of the story, how God used that rod that he had in his hand to prove who he was to the Israelites. And so I think that's what God is asking us. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your hand? How can you use what you have to serve me? All right, so again, what do you have? Give it to God and watch it grow. So it's not about us, it's about God. And how can he be glorified in that? Can we do the video? Okay. All right, thank you for your attention. And we'll be here after the service as well if you have any questions about the ministry in Jamaica. I'd love to answer your questions. And thank you again for your attention.
All right, so we're having some glitches back here with the volume now, the sound. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We will send this as a link to our church email address so you can watch it later. Kevin will hook us up with a link for that, and we'll send it out to the church email address so you can watch it at home on your personal computer. So go ahead, Doug.
Thank you for sharing and for what God's doing there, and bless you and your ministry. So we're going to head to our prayer time, our prayer focus. Our prayer focus this month is our missionaries. And so I've asked our missionaries, along with our return missionaries, Jeremy and Alicia, to send some prayer requests, and they did. We've compiled them on a list. So we're going to dismiss the children first. So Mark, if you'll come up and dismiss them, and then I'll come back up and explain the prayer time.
All right, time for Sunday school. So the youth, before you are joining us, this time you're going to be back in your class. And so you are dismissed at this time. The youth are dismissed to the youth room. Three-year-olds. And for the visitors, if you have children, just send them over to this door. And as soon as I'm done dismissing, I'll be back there and I'll help them find their classes if they haven't found them already. 4 and 5-year-olds. Sorry. 1st and 2nd grade. Third and fourth grade. Fifth and sixth grade. In 7th through 9th grade. And then for you adults, Doug will dismiss you.
If you're here this morning and you want to see that video and you don't attend church here, you could give your email address to me sitting back here in the sound booth, or you could give it to Doug, and we'll try to make that you can get that link from Kevin if you would like to see that video. Once again, I apologize. And we actually had everything working, just so you know, beforehand. I don't know what happened.
So if you'll hand the sheets out. So on this paper is all the missionaries, Kent, James and Carla, I include them, Lois, Andrew and Danae, Alicia, Jeremy. On the back is Daniel and Amber, and I've asked Kevin and Carrie for prayer requests as well. So they are very, I was very pleased with the prayer requests that they gave. They were very personal and very authentic, and I appreciated that. So we're just going to dismiss to our Sunday school classes that we normally are in.